O'Connell was already 12 years old and not yet apprenticed to a craft when the Great Harp Competition was held in Belfast in 1792. His father had joined the Irish Brigade before Padraig was even born and has been gone ever since. His poor mum died 5 years later of a broken heart, they say. So the old woman who ran the boarding house had put Padraig to work, fetching and carrying, to make sure the boarders were happy. He couldn't work as long and hard as other boys his age, and the old woman would shake her head and say, "Poor Paddy, 'tis hard, you know, just like his poor mum." So Padraig knew that one day he would die just like his mum, of a broken heart. But this week had been the most marvelous. Three of the 9 harpers in the great competition were staying right here in this very house, sharing the large room downstairs, the one next to the sitting room. Well, 2 of them were blind and 1 had a bad leg, so they preferred sharing a room over climbing all those stairs. And it was Patrick's duty to tend to these mysterious harpers. He'd never played a harp before, but he'd been watching the harpers very carefully when they rehearsed, and he'd been practicing on his imaginary harp. Very late on the last night of the competition, when all the boarders were asleep, Padraig peered into the sitting room where the harps were kept. "Till I'll be gone tomorrow," he thought. He couldn't get this tune out of his head. "Has that ever happened to you?" It was the one the old blind harper, Arthur O'Neill, had played. He just had to hear it again. He knew he'd never sleep, so he took a deep breath and tiptoed into the room where the harps were kept and picked up the first harp he came to. It was like magic. He let the sound wash over him, and then he set to the task of finding the tune in his head and getting it out. Someone was staring at your back. Padraig held very still, thinking, if it's one of the blind harpers, he might not be found out. But still, he felt those eyes on him, and he knew, blind harper or not, he'd been caught. "It's called Bridget Cruz." He recognized the voice. It was Arthur O'Neill himself, and this must be his harp. "I'd like to be as fine a harper as you someday. You play so beautifully." He couldn't help babbling on and on. "Is this your harp? Why do you call it Bridget Cruz?" "No, no, young Patrick. Not the harp. The tune. Bridget Cruz, written by the famous harper Turlough O'Carolan. Bridget Cruz, queen of the Tuatha Dé Danann. They say he wrote it after meeting the Queen of the Fairies herself in the She, the Halla Hills." The She, the Halla Hills? Perhaps
he is only sleep talking. Surely he doesn't believe. Oh, isn't that just a fairy tale about our Saint Bridget? T'other way around, lad. T'other way around. Certainly she has called to you. She is a healer. What is the ailment that drew her to you? Well, they say I have a heart that is frail. I'll die of broken heart, I will, just like my poor mum. Well, that will very likely be, but not before you have learned to be a fine harper. And I will be your first teacher. So Patrick left the boarding house the very next day and went with the old blind harper, and he learned his scales and his finger techniques. And a whole repertoire of songs. And when he played exceptionally well, the old harper would respond in the forbidden Gaelic. Mahu, good for you. Or Galen, lovely. For 5 years, Padraig practiced long and hard and did some fetching and carrying for the old harper as payment. Harping wasn't all the old harper taught young Padraig. It's a hard living we make. It's not like it was in years gone by, when there were plenty of noble Irish who'd pay a fine fee for an evening's entertainment. Now, those who were rich and smart enough have sailed off to America. And many of those who remained have lost their lands and even their lives to the English invaders. To English, or rather suspicious, traveling minstrels and bards, or anyone who could carry news of their activities. Aye, some of the Protestant nobility are in the mood from time to time for a little Gaelic amusement, but our time is passing. Padraig finally set out at the age of 17 to begin his life as an itinerant harper. He traveled from town to town, always seeking out the finest household and offering his services to the new aristocracy, English though they were. At first, his enthusiasm got him in the door more often than not. But after a year had passed, he was going without food and shelter more and more. And when he finally had to sell his horse because he could no longer keep it fed, he began to grow weak and was aware for the first time in years of the pounding in his chest. Don't break yet. I'm not ready to die. One day, he felt a fire in his head. He wandered off the road and came upon a shady glen. I'll just lie here and sleep this fever off. When he awoke, he was surrounded by a cool mist. He heard a sound. The wind? No. Birds? No. Familiar yet. And then he heard a woman's voice singing in the forbidden tongue. And he cried for his condition, and he cried for his poor mum, and for his father, who was compelled to leave them. And he cried for poor Ireland, and for the loss of the Celtic wisdom that few besides the old harpers seemed to have. his fever subside and a strength spread throughout his body. He knew that the singer felt his pain and was sharing her strength with him. Alubini, Alubini, Mahalwine, Mahalyoira, Alubini, Alubini. He rose to his feet. I must find the source of this ecstasy. He felt good enough to dance a jig, and he did a good old-fashioned one. And when he spun around, he found himself looking into the eyes of a woman who could only be Bridget Cruz, Queen of the Fairies. Patrick, you have learned the tunes, and you have felt the fire in your head. It is time to take the next step, or not. Teach me that song. I've never felt so much in one song. I will teach you what you need to know, but it isn't that one song. It is the secret of the Dog d'Amour, and there is a price you must pay. Name it. You will return to the life of an itinerant harper and bring the healing magic of music to those who are in need for 30 years. And then, after the magic is no longer potent in the world, you will return here to the Hollow Hills and play for my people, the Tuatha De Danann, forever. The she, the Hollow Hills. So Arthur wasn't crazy after all. Or maybe I am. But despite any confusion over who is or isn't crazy, Patrick agreed to the terms and followed the fairy queen further into the she. And there he stayed for 3 years. And there he learned the three songs of the Dog d'Amour. The Galtrai, Song of Sorrow. Suantrai, Song of Comfort. And the Gentrai, Song of Joy. To invoke their magic, no matter what tune he was playing. And when the magic was deeply instilled in Patrick's heart and in his fingers, Bridget Cruz said, "You have learned what you came to learn. It is time for you to leave here."
"But I don't want to leave."
"Oh, but Patrick, that was the deal we made. There is still some good that can be done. You will return soon enough. Leave the healing magic of the Dog d'Amour ringing in as many ears as you can find who will listen and hear." When Patrick looked around, he found that he was alone and in that same shady glen that he had stumbled into 3 years ago. Or was it only a few hours? He climbed up onto the road and continued on his way. Now, Patrick was able to find a fair number of listening ears, and he played songs that brought tears to the eyes, and songs that brought peace to the heart, and songs that set feet to dancing. He sang sorrowful songs about the goings on up north, comforting songs about the strength of the Irish underground, and joyful songs about a magical land that can only be reached by fever and cool mists and a beautiful fairy queen. Some folks believed him and were encouraged. Some claimed to have been healed by the spirit of Saint Bridget through Patrick. When he dies, says one man, he should be sainted himself. Ni howld man, says his wife, before he got to Saint Patrick. As years passed, fewer and fewer would listen to the ravings of a crazy itinerant harper. And sure enough, after 30 years, there was no one who would offer even a crumb for a song. Patrick felt his heart burst for the dying old ways of Ireland. He felt a fire in his head once again, and even managed to stumble off the road into the very same shady glen for a nap to ease the fever. Can you guess what he awakened to? The sound of 1,000 harps, led by his two teachers, Arthur O'Neill, who taught him the songs to play, and Bridget Cruz, who taught him how to play the songs. The harpers welcomed Patrick through the mist into the vanishing hollow hills. Patrick joined in, and there he played, and still plays today, for Bridget Cruz and the Tua de Danann. And when I close my eyes and make my breathing slow and steady, and listen to the blood coursing through my veins, I can just barely, like on the edge of perception, make out the three songs of Dagda Mór. And feel the sorrow, the comfort, and the joy, the healing magic of music.